We have a new series since we finished our soul-winning series. We're moving on to a new series that's really a follow-up from our last one. And basically, we're going to be looking at questions and answers. Questions that are commonly asked about our faith, what we believe, and some answers we can give to those questions. So whether you're at the door, whether you're talking to your neighbour, whether you're at work and someone asks you a question about your faith, hopefully this little study will encourage you to be ready to give an answer. And on that note, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This verse is not in your handout, so you'll have to look it up in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And the Lord has led us to this series, and this is a verse that 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. If you haven't got a pen, that's okay. The answers are on the back, and you can fill them in later. There are some pens at the table, of course. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of encouragement, this time of help. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is sufficient, Lord, for our witness, Lord, sufficient for the questions that people have. Help us, dear Lord, to be ready to have an answer. Lord, not the answer that is our own or our own wisdom, but Father, help us to give your answer to the questions that people ask. Help us to grow, Lord, in this area of being a witness for you. Lord, we need your help. We need you to stir us up. Lord, we need you to revive the zeal that is necessary. Lord, we can grow in knowledge. We all can learn more. But Father, only you can do the work in our hearts to give us a zeal, a passion that Christ has for souls. Please help us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you may have read it before. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. The word ready means to be prepared. God says as Christians we need to be prepared. And that word means to be ready at hand. And I like the idea of we being ready and also something ready at our hand, because we need the Word of God in our hands if we're going to be ready to give an answer. And thankfully, God has put into our hands all the answers we need. Amen. I'm glad He can use sinners saved by grace like you and I. We don't need to have PhD degrees. We don't need to have Bible college degrees. All we need is the Word of God. Amen. And God has given us all we need to be a witness. But on our part, we need to be ready. Notice the word after ready and be ready. What's the next word? Always. What does that mean? Well, it means to be continually ready. And you know what it's like, church family, to be continually ready means we need to continually grow in our witness, don't we? We need to continue to add to our knowledge, more wonderful truths about God's Word. Continue to grow in our faith and in the area of witnessing. And this is what this new study over these series of weeks is about, to help you and I be more prepared. None of us are as prepared as we want to be, but God wants us to just continue to grow and to be more prepared to give an answer to those who ask for a reason of the hope that is in us. And all of us have experienced not being able to give an answer. And that's good to humble us, to realize, hey, we don't know everything. And secondly, to challenge us to find an answer from the Word of God. And I trust that this little series will be a blessing in that regard. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And my point is, as we begin this lesson this evening, God's word is sufficient.
Amen.
His word speaks for itself. His word is the supernatural word of God. It is quick, it is living, it is powerful. And yes, illustrations are good. Historical, scientific, and archaeological facts are very good. But what is best? The Word of God. So through this series, we're going to be looking at verses in the Scripture. And let me encourage you, as you witness, be ready to show a reason, to give a reason. Good for us to know some facts. And we'll look at those facts too. We'll have some interesting facts to learn. But most of all, the Word of God is what we need to have an answer, is how we need to give an answer to everyone that asketh us a reason. What verses can we go to? Now, you may have some different verses than we'll look at tonight. That's great. If any of these can be a help, that's a blessing. And wonderfully, as we go through the Word of God daily, don't we? I'm sure you've experienced it, and God teaches us His Word, and He might give you a verse for someone who asked you a question and give you an answer right there. And there's the answer. There's an answer to share with them. Isn't the Lord wonderful? So He helps us in our quiet time. And this series of lessons, I trust, will be a blessing. Tonight we're going to be looking at questions and answers about the Bible. Lots of people ask questions about the Bible. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, the wonderful thing is most of those questions are the same. People seem to ask the same questions, don't they? And that helps us in our witness, because if we have found a verse or a number of verses or given an answer to a question that commonly comes up, we can be more ready. Now, what's one question that commonly comes up there in your notes? Let's launch straight into it. Wasn't the Bible written by men? Wasn't the Bible written by men? And let me say this to begin with. Don't get upset when people ask questions. And this is a good question, wouldn't you agree? And if you were not saved, and we take for granted we're saved often, isn't this a great question for someone to ask? Now, if they ask it angrily and frustratingly, it's easy for us to get defensive, but at the end of the day, we should be glad someone is engaging in the conversation. If they're asking a question, what are they demanding? An answer. So let's thank the Lord when people ask questions, whether it's at the door, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our home. Let's do so. What does the Bible say? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. With meekness and with fear. Let's do it in humility and saying, thank the Lord. They're asking a question. Amen. Thank the Lord. I can be used of the Lord. Wasn't the Bible written by men? Yes. Men wrote the Bible, but God is the author. And you can show them 2 Peter 1:21. There in your notes, just to save time, I put that in. The Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Show them this verse, for example. Allow God's word to speak to them. Allow the supernatural word of God to speak to them as you show them this Bible, this verse, and simply explain that God used men, yes, absolutely, but God gave them the words to speak. God gave them the words to write down. God supernaturally worked through them to record the exact words He wants us to have. Now, He can do that because He is God, and that is what the Bible says. So it's important for us to have some verses. Now, any of these verses that come along that we look at tonight, you might like to write down in your soul-winning Bible or in the back of your Bible that you take with you under maybe questions about the Bible, just to have ready. And you know, a question, the fact that men wrote the Bible is the evidence that it is God's Word. It's the very evidence that it is God's Word. Because, you know, if we simply know a little bit about the Bible, we understand that it's a miracle that over 1,600 years, 40 writers that wrote to put together the Word of God, over 1,600 years completely agreed with each other on every single subject. Every single subject the Bible talks about is in agreement from the Old Testament to the New. 40 different writers that most of them, not all of them, but most of them did not know each other. They came from different backgrounds. different education. They came from different parts of the world. We know that some were doctors, some were theologians, some were kings, some were fishermen, and they came from all sorts of walks of life. They lived in different places at different times, and yet the Bible is one book with no contradictions, with no errors. Now, that's a miracle. I like to ask the question, if you were to get 40 of your friends to sit down and write down what they believe about God, do you think that they would agree in every single thought each other have about God? If they were to write down something about what they believe about God, you believe that they would be in complete 100% agreement. Now, that's 40 of your friends that you know live in the same city, perhaps, in the same time. They would disagree. And yet, how could so many of these writers completely agree without contradiction, without error, on the variety of subjects that are present in the Bible? So that's just a little interesting thought. The Bible agrees on every subject it discusses. We know that's one reason why it is the Word of God. And you can talk about prophecy, of course, and so forth. But just as a truth, what does the Bible say? Well, not by the will of man, but by God. God is the author. God used men to write the Bible. Now, another question that often comes up is this, and it's more of a statement, only some of the Bible is true. Has anyone ever said that before to you? Well, I believe in some of the Bible, but not all of the Bible. You know, the story about Jonah, that's just ridiculous. But, you know, the parts about family and what the Lord Jesus said about loving your neighbor, I think that's very relevant. We need to love our neighbor today. You know, so some parts of the Bible are true, some are not. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible speaks for itself. 2 Timothy 3:16, let's read this aloud on 2. 1, 2. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So obviously the focus there is all Scripture. Every single part of the Bible is given by inspiration of God. God miraculously gave His Word through human instruments to write down everything exactly as He wanted to be said, and everything is the Word of God, not just one part over another. Now again, be careful not to get upset and defensive. Show them what the Word of God says. The Bible defends itself. Amen? The Word of God defends itself. And we need to give an answer from the Word of God. So that second blank is the word true. Only some of the Bible is true. Another question some ask, hasn't years of copying changed the Bible? You know, you might meet someone at the door and they'll say to you, look, you know, you just told me the Bible was written over 1,600 years, and wouldn't you think in that time it'd be absolutely ridiculous that the Bible didn't change from copy to copy? Fair enough. Good question. Copy to copy, you know, translation to translation. I mean, you know, have you ever played the game of Chinese whispers? One person whispers something in one ear, and by the time you get around in the circle, it's a completely different story. You know, someone once said that to me. Hey, that's a good question. Hasn't the Bible changed? Well, what does God's Word say? Well, God says that He has promised to protect and preserve His Word. Psalm 12, verses 6 to 7. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. See, the reality is, when we are talking about our faith, we have a supernatural God, we have a supernatural faith, and we need to not shy away. And I have to admit, sometimes we try and rationalize what we believe. We try and use illustrations, and we sometimes rest more upon historical facts than simply declaring what God's Word says. God is God, and He has supernaturally preserved His Word. Yes, men are fallible. Yes, we all make mistakes, but God doesn't, you see. And He is all-powerful and He is able to keep His Word the same throughout all generations. And you can ask that person perhaps, look, if there really is a God, do you believe he would be powerful enough to do that? If he created the universe, could he preserve his word? Absolutely. Well, that's what God has said in his word. Psalm 119, verse 89. I think it's there in your notes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
God settled his word in heaven. And we have it here on earth. And he has protected it from changing. We have the word of God today. So it has it. Yes, men are fallible, but God is infallible. God is perfect. And I like the little example of the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know, there is some historical evidence we can point to. And I put a little information in your notes. You know, when the book of Isaiah was found in the caves of Qumran, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they compared the earliest copy of Isaiah that we have today to the scrolls that were dated 100 BC and in 1,000 years of copying, only minor differences were found. That did not affect the meaning of the text. And that was a significant discovery to show, at least historically, that, you know, God has preserved his word. Now, by faith, we know he has. Little facts and historical and archaeological helps are good. But the reality is that God is God. He preserves his word. You know, how do we know it hasn't been altered? That's a good question. So we need to be ready to have an answer. What does the Bible say? Here's another one. Question number four. Isn't the Bible outdated?
Amen.
Outdated. Isn't it outdated? So that's your next blank. Question number four. Now, cults use this one. You know, so many cults, like the Baha'is, for example, they have a different book that is basically an advanced version of the Bible. It's a book that's superior to the Bible. They respect the Bible, the Baha'is, but they have their own scriptures that are more superior to the Bible. So therefore, the Bible is outdated. It is the Word of God, but it's outdated. It's not relevant anymore. There are more books superior to it. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, God's Word is complete, does not need to be updated. It does not get outdated. Notice what Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever."
Amen.
Once the word of God was completed, there are no updates. There are no additions. God's word endureth forever. Another great verse, Psalm 33, verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart," notice this, "to all generations." I like that one myself. To all generations. So in every generation, the same word of God is completely enough and relevant, and it's not outdated. You know, some will say, you know, that what it says about women, what the Bible says about women is outdated, and what the Bible says about, you know, the way we live, because we don't live in those times anymore, it's no longer relevant. Well, the Bible says it's relevant to all generations. Every single topic the Bible speaks about is just as relevant today as it was hundreds of years ago. Why? Because God knows how we think. You can talk about history if you like, how history repeats itself. And, you know, there's things taking place today that have taken place throughout history. Wars, murder, you know, corruption, and struggles in families. And every topic God speaks about is relevant to all generations. Liberals will say that there are portions that are believable, there are portions that are man-made. And that's not true at all. We've already answered that in a previous question. But God's word is settled in heaven. The Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away," in fact, "but my words," plural, "words shall not pass away." So the word of God. Now, fifthly, as we move on, can I interpret the Bible myself? Now, some with a religious upbringing might ask the question, you know, am I allowed to interpret the Bible myself? Am I allowed to read the Bible and understand what it means on my own? Because, of course, the Catholic Church teaches that the Pope is infallible and he has the authority, and his priests, bishops, cardinals, etc., they have been given the anointing of holy orders, which is like a ordination service for priests. And supernaturally, miraculously, the Holy Spirit infused them with the power, ability to communicate the Word of God beyond the layman in the church. And that's a false teaching of the Catholic Church. Orthodox Church is the same. I was talking to a young guy on the plane on the way to Sydney, and he opened his Bible when I was sitting next to him. I got excited, and we talked all the way to the... after everyone had got off the plane, we were still talking. And anyway, he communicated to me that, hey, he doesn't understand some things, but he trusts in what the priests teach. Because they are priests. You know, they have a special ability that we do not have. Orthodox, Catholic, religious are taught this. Can I understand the Bible for myself? Well, the answer is God has given His Word to everyone so that we can read it, so that we can understand it and believe it. And there are some verses that I put there. Revelation 1:3, you remember from last year? One of the key verses for our theme. Blessed is he that readeth, and he and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. But the point is, blessed is he that readeth. God wants everyone to receive a blessing. God wants everyone to read His Word. Notice what David said in Psalm 119, verse 99, another great verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. David knew more than his teachers because he spent time in the Word of God and studied, and God spoke to him personally, individually. Yes, we can. You know, some people might humbly and out of insecurity say, look, I'm putting so much trust in the Catholic Church. Look, they can't be wrong. They can't be wrong. You know, and some will say, look, priests, you know, they're the ones that ought to teach me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is wonderful. The Bible says, teach the Word of God to your children. Well, if you've got children, that means you're married, and that means you have kids. So much for the priests. Amen. Teach the Word of God to your children daily. Teach the Word of God. If we are to teach the Word of God to our families, that means we do have the right ability and privilege of teaching the Word of God. So these are just some common questions. Of course, there are a lot more. Question 6, can I trust in experiences over the Bible? Usually people don't ask this one, but I put it in the question. Your blank is the word experiences. You know, someone might tell you about their experience. As you tell them about God, they might say, hey, I had a dream once, or I saw this once. And can I encourage you, don't shoot them down. Amen? Don't shoot them down. I don't believe they're lying to you. I don't believe they are. And to be honest with you, they may have seen something. They may have really actually seen something, because we know there is a real devil. Amen? We know they may have even dreamed something that seems so real. I like to ask the question, have you ever dreamt something that seems so real? And you woke up and it was as if it really happened, but it was just a dream. You know, dreams can be so vivid and so real. Back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? 2 Peter chapter 1 is wonderful, isn't it? Verses 18 and 19. Here Peter is saying, look, we saw Christ on the Mount Transfiguration. And we heard God speak out of a cloud. Notice what he says. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also, what does he say? A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. So what's the Bible saying? When it comes to experiences, when it comes to things that we see visibly, God's word is much more truthful and reliable than what we experience. The Word of God, it overrules any vision or experience that we have. And Peter said that. So that's great to come back to the Scriptures, say, look, what does the Bible say? And then you can go on to explain, look, you know, some verses here, I think I put them in your notes, 2 Corinthians 11:14, the devil can make himself look like an angel from God. Matthew 24:24, there shall arrive false Christ, false prophets, that shall deceive the very elect, using signs and wonders. So, you know, as you witness to people, let's not shoot them down. Let's show them what God's Word says and encourage them to believe in the Word of God. God's Word is the foundation. So if they've had some experience, they've seen Jesus walking on the water towards them, okay. But what does the Bible say about how we can be sure of eternal life? Okay, you believe in Jesus, you've seen a vision, but what does the Bible say about what it means to believe? And so, can I trust in experiences over the Bible? For that reason, people don't read their Bible, because they've seen a vision, that's good enough. They don't read the Word of God. What does the Bible say? God's Word is first. And lastly, can we take the Bible literally? Can we take the Bible literally? Yes, God meant His Word to be understood literally. I'm sure you can think of other verses, other responses to any of these questions. I like 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto thee, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. And you can ask the question, with something as serious as eternal life, heaven or hell, and God wrote a book about how we can know for sure that we have eternal life, don't you think that God would want us to know how we can be sure? Don't you think that God would not leave us guessing about something as important as eternal life? So if God wants us to know how we can be sure, He wants to tell us straight, clear, literally. You know, so if you were warning someone about, you know, if you were on the road warning someone about a bridge that they're about to cross, that it's out, it's broken, you know, it's going to lead to destruction, would you communicate literally, or would you be using abstract, strange signs and symbols communication, you know, sign language, or would you put up a sign say, bridge is out, danger? What would road workers put on a road? A literal sign to stop you from destruction. And God's Word is literal. Why? Because He would not leave us guessing. He's not sadistic. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 5:39. Would you like to know what the Bible says about how you can be sure of having eternal life? So let me encourage you. On these Wednesday nights, we're going to be looking at some verses to help answer common questions. We won't be able to look at everything, but I trust that some of these will just help you and I to be more ready to give an answer. Amen? Someone may ask you one of these questions this week, at work, perhaps at door knocking. But be aware, as people ask questions, as they ask questions that show their doubt in the Bible or in Jesus Christ, in the faith, as people throw out contentious questions, understand that they're saying those things because they've not yet fallen under conviction of their sin. If they were convicted, they would come to Christ. But because they're not convicted, they're still doubting, they're still fighting, they're asking questions. So see that as an opportunity to share more of the Word of God. See that as an opportunity to lead to the gospel. See that not as a attack, but as an opportunity. Because sometimes we get really stirred up, don't we? Start to sweat, heart beats. I don't have an answer. We get frustrated and angry in the flesh. We need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And let me encourage you to, if you've not yet invested, invest in a soul-winning Bible. And at the back, those of you who are in our soul-winning course, notes. Wonderful section, notes. Write things down. Questions and answers, for example. Have them ready to go. Underline verses in a red pen. That's what I do. You can do what you like with sticky notes or whatever helps you. But what's the point? Being ready. Amen. Let's continue to be more and more ready. And I trust that God will increase and bless our witnessing opportunity. Don't despair. Each of us, before we were saved, as I close, all had an inbuilt resistance to the Word of God. All of us. It's the sin nature. Don't be surprised when people argue, ask questions, doubt, raise their voices. Amen. But that's part of being a witness for the Lord. Don't despair, because sooner or later, eventually, the truth got through to you, did it not? The Word of God got through to you. So have faith that it will get through to that person. So let's be a witness for the Lord and prepare. Let's be more prepared. Let me encourage you to come back on Wednesday nights. Amen. And let's enjoy this series together.